The Precision Rifle Network podcast is brought to you by Securit Gun Storage Solutions for competitors, hunters, and operators. Let's get into this episode. All right, guys, back with season 2, episode 15. Finally, I know. Just after every single time that I make one of these podcasts, I'm fairly certain that I promise that it won't take me as long to get up the next episode, and then I think it might take longer, by at least a day, each and every time that I promise that. So from here on out, I'm not going to promise that I'm going to get it up faster, get the podcast up faster. I'm going to promise that I will get an episode up. I'm not going to put a time frame on it because apparently I am incapable of doing these things in a timely fashion. So it has been a full month as of this point, a month and a couple of days since the last one that I made. And my plan was, I made the last one on like the 7th of July. And about a week after that, I was going to go to Florida for a comprehensive carbine course at Altus, which I did do. And my point was to make one of the episodes down there at Altus, possibly with the instructor, and if not, just after it by myself. And I thought, it'd be a good one to get up there. And then that didn't happen. And then I was gone for like 3 weeks, kind of on that trip, partly a work trip, partly a training trip. And then I met up with my wife, and we spent a week together out in the Smoky Mountains. And so just time flew, got away from me. As it stands right now, I just got back in from a quick weekend out in Chicago visiting some friends whose daughter got married. And so the wife and I drove out there just for an overnight. And I'm back. And I thought, you know, it's raining outside. I can't do much else. I'm bored. There's no football on yet. So might as well record a podcast. So here I am. So this one's just going to be catching up with what's been going on in this last month. I'm going to focus in on, you know, that carbine class because, you know, yeah, it's Precision Rifle Network, but I'm a gun guy through and through, and I like survival stuff and fieldcraft stuff, and I like comms, and I like gray man lifestyle. I like security concepts. Like, I like all that stuff. So, you know, occasionally we're going to deviate and talk about other things. And so this episode is going to be more about carbine skills, tactical stuff, and what I learned in the class and those sorts of things. So launching right in, of course, I need to remind you that we are sponsor-based around here at Precision Rifle Network. Securit Gun Storage Solutions has been our title sponsor over this last year. They've decided not to renew their contract in this next year, and that year starting in September. But that's okay. We had a good relationship. There's no drama in our parting or anything like that. But I am on the lookout for other kind of title sponsors. So if there are any sponsor type people or people, friends of the industry kind of people listening in, and you want to sponsor Precision Rifle Network, want to be on the podcast, want to see your products and hear them mentioned about in all my socials and on the YouTube channel regularly and all those things, hit me up. So Securit has been. Coltac continues to be a friend of the channel, a sponsor. You guys can save 10% by using code PRN10 over at Coltac. PRN10 for 10% over at MK Machining. PRN10 for 10% over at Graybow Stocks. PRN15 for 15% over at Axle Hearing Protection. Of course, there's links to all these below all the YouTube videos. So that's enough of that. Go check those out. Help out the channel. Help me keep doing this kind of stuff that I love to do and provide content for you guys. That would be appreciated. All right. So Altus down in Florida. So if you're not familiar with this place, it's a premier destination for precision rifle shooting competitions. They used to be a part of the Precision Rifle Series. In fact, Shannon Kay started along with another person, I think, K&M, way back in the day, designed it, whatever. It's been passed along. It's been bought out. It's been built upon and bettered in a huge way. And so now, you know, not only do they provide precision rifle related training and competitions and 22 long rifle stuff and whatever, like it's a membership club for shooting. And they've got, you know, an amazing facility, a brand new bunkhouse where students can come and stay. And they brought on, you know, a partnership with Altus and Mr. Josh Apple, who, if you're not familiar, and I wasn't familiar with him, but I'm super glad I'm familiar with him now. But he's a, you know, it's like a, let's just call him a tier one special operations trainer. Let's just call it that. He's a lot of other things. But let's call him that. And he's going to be doing a lot of training for them down there and has been already with military clients and law enforcement and civilians. And one of the classes they started offering is this comprehensive carbine course, this two-day course all about, you know, shooting an AR, everything from just standard, you know, basic how to sight in your rifle, which we did at like 50 yards and 100 yards, just kind of, you know, prone position, you know, unsupported, just sighting in regularly. It's kind of how we started the class, right? And then we went into, you know, just some close quarters engagements on paper, just kind of ready up kind of stuff, just trying to get a gauge for how people moved and manipulated their systems and used a sling and did all those kinds of things. And we just did some drills and things like that from close range on paper. And then, of course, things get a lot more dynamic, right? And you're talking about, you know, use of cover and concealment, and you're practicing, you know, shooting from around cover and on different targets, multiple target engagements, reactionary targets, you know, spinning targets, movers. We just did a whole lot of stuff, and it was a great class. Now, I have not taken a lot of AR-15 or carbine type training. Like, I have a background in law enforcement, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have a lot of training opportunities. You know, you have a couple times a year where you get out and you train, typically with some other law enforcement instructor that is himself not really all that well trained, and he's providing the training to the rest of the people, and it really is geared towards getting people to pass their qualification tests a couple times a year, so that the, you know, the bean counters and the people that care about liability can cross all their T's and dot all their I's and whatnot. And so I realized early on in my law enforcement career, which really wasn't a career, you guys know, I was part-time. I only did it for about 6 years. But I learned early on that if I was gonna get any kind of serious tactical training, I was gonna have to do it myself. And so early on, and this has been 20 years ago now or more, I started taking, you know, tactical pistol, combat pistol, rifle courses, all this kind of stuff. But like, I have not done a whole lot of carbine courses, at least not in my book. Like, I think this class down at Altos was probably my third or fourth professional level carbine course that I've ever taken. And to some people that might be a lot, but to me, that's not really all that much. Like, I don't feel like I have all of those skills mastered per se. But it was just a good course, for the general citizen. You know, it's a level 1/level 2 course. There's some more advanced stuff in there. Like, I'll talk about it in a little bit, but Josh developed this gunfighter course, which is just excellent, excellent training. But, you know, from a basic level, we just focused on manipulating the weapon system, you know, how to hold it, how to drive it, the different ready positions from a low ready to a high ready to a port to a, you know, whatever it is, like an over the shoulder type of position, when to use those different types of positions, how to make your shots more stable using a standard sling, when you need to swim out of your sling and transition to, you know, support side, you know, support side shooting, where you're shooting with your offhand and your off eye and everything else, transitioning to backup weapon system like a pistol. So dropping the rifle and not dropping it, but on the sling, just kind of getting it out of the way and transitioning to pistol. We worked on malfunctions. We worked on some movement and shooting. Really what that came down to was moving, towards the target, advancing towards targets, just learning how to walk a little bit so you can be more stable with your shots, just some timing, some pacing, with that. We got on the clock and did some like very fast kind of ready up type stuff. And, you know, Josh was saying he always looks for something like 0.7 to 0.9 of a second, to get the rifle from a ready position, fire one shot, on the target to the first shot on the target. I guess you're firing multiple shots. It's two to the body, one to the head, kind of a drill, but, that very first shot, he's looking for anywhere from like 0.7 to 0.9 seconds for his special operations guys. And, there were a number of us in the class that were able to go that fast. And that felt pretty cool because I'd never really been put on a clock before and said, hey, actually, dude, you're pretty fast. And I was like, okay, cool. That's great. Like, thanks. I had no idea. So that was kind of fun. And then was it day two? One of his buddies stepped in on Sunday morning of the class. So half the day was spent with another special operations guy who was an ex-sniper and a special ops sniper. And, you know, his job was really just to teach us about kind of movement around cover, taking some longer range shots with an AR, and then also some pistol long range stuff. So we tried pistol shots out to 200 yards. I couldn't get any hits at the 200 yard target. And so I didn't realize until after the fact. So I'll say this, everybody else in the class got an impact at a 200 yard full size IPSC. And I felt like I should be able to do that. I got my impact at the 100 yard full size IPSC. And I thought, well, shoot. Okay. Well, I'll be able to get it at the 200 yard full size IPSC. Well, so I go through the class. I can't get an impact at the 200 yard full size IPSC with a pistol. And, you know, some people are like, well, duh, like that's a hard shot. I was like, well, it's not really that hard of a shot when you understand, you know, how to make that kind of a shot. At any rate, about a week later, I'm traveling up to Georgia to pick up my wife from the airport and I've got some time. So I go to this indoor range and I'm at the indoor range. And I shoot a couple of shots and I'm like, what in the world's going on? I had my target at like 15 yards with a pistol and I expected, you know, my group to all be pretty centered up, pretty small. Like I can shoot a pistol pretty well. But my shots were like way out on the edges of the target I was aiming at. I'm like, what the world's going on? So I bring the pistol back in, I clear it and I start messing with things. And I find out my front sight is loose and like turning off to the side. And then it all clicked. And I'm like, that's why I couldn't make my shot. I got lucky at the 100 yard target, probably, at Altus. And then my sight loosened up and I couldn't get those impacts at 200, probably because my sight was off. And, it was funny because I wasn't even hitting the dirt berm at 200 yards. Like I was going way over into the woods. I was way low. I was off to the right. Like, people are like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm aiming well. Like, I don't know. So that was my dumb aha moment. Well, at any rate, it's been fixed now and is glued steady in there and tightened well. So I shouldn't have that issue again. So now I'm kind of wanting to make a video on shooting pistols long range so that I can prove to myself that I can make impacts with a pistol at longer distances. But anyway, so the Street Fighter course that Josh developed for special operations guys is really sweet. And the thing that he wanted to do, he said, is that typically on a square range, you don't really get to practice a lot of the just dynamic movement, and shooting conditions or situations that you get into, in actual combat. And so, seeing how he's been in actual combat, and he's training guys who are going into combat, he needed a tool, like a training tool that he could use, you know, to teach these guys about alternate weird positions and whatnot. And so he developed Street Fighter course. And basically it's all timed and you start from it's kind of reminiscent of a PRS stage where you start from a starting line and you get put on the clock beep and then you take off to your first position and you got to shoot a couple of shots from two or three different positions on this barricade or around this barricade. And then you move to another one and you got different shots you got to shoot through or whatever. But the thing is with this one is that there are a couple of positions thrown in that are very specific to carbine skills around certain types of cover that these guys would run into in combat situations. So one in particular is called, they call it broke back prone. And basically what it is, you bend over, you're on your knees, you bend over, you put your head on the ground, and then you're shooting your rifle laterally. So let's say off to your left underneath a barricade that where the hole of the barricade is flat on the ground. So you're basically tipping your rifle sideways, almost laying it on the ground. You got to put your hand underneath there so you don't create malfunctions. And I know talking about this on the podcast is not going to make any sense. So you're just going to have to try to figure it out. But, you know, taking a shot with your rifle canted all the way over 90 degrees, laying almost flat on the ground, well, you've got a right twist in your barrel, right? And what does it do when your rifle is leveled up straight up and down and that right twist comes into play at longer distance, right? Your bullet curves off to the right and slightly down. Now take your rifle and cant it over 90 degrees, lay it on its side, and what's going to happen to that, right? It's going to drop and go right considerably. And so things like that, that, you know, we just had to practice and do fast because you're on the clock. And then you move to the next barricade and all of a sudden you're shooting through an angled port that's angled 45 degrees off to the left and you're shooting 100, 200 yard targets. And what does that do to your round, right? And then you move to another one, you're shooting at a angled port that's 45 degrees the other direction. And what does that do? And, one of the things that I learned about that, because in theory, I've always known what it does when you cant a rifle off to the side. You know, I've known it in theory, but I've never really put it into practice. So the thing to remember is magazine side. And when he first said that, I was like, I don't really know what you're talking about. And then he explained it further. It's like, well, if your rifle is canted left, making your magazine point kind of down and to the right, well, then on your target out at distance, you're going to favor the way that the magazine is pointing. So if your rifle is canted 45 degrees left, you're going to hold slightly high and slightly right on the target you're trying to hit because your magazine is pointed to the right. And opposite is also true. If your rifle is canted 45 degrees to the right, making your magazine point to the left, and you're taking a shot on a target, well, then you're gonna aim slightly high and slightly left to compensate out at those distances. And again, we're talking about man-sized targets, right, guys? This isn't like uber precise types of shots. I'm not really sure how all that applies with a precision rifle. I haven't ever tried it, so maybe that's a video that needs to happen. But with a carbine and trying to run quickly through this gunfighter course that's timed, yeah. Anyway, it was interesting. Interesting, to say the least. I did okay. There for just a little bit, I was the fastest one in our class, and then people kept running it over and over again, and I didn't. I ended up being like, oh, I'm the fastest one. Sweet, I'll just stop running it. And then a couple of guys kept running it over and over again, and then they got faster than me. So I think I ended up, if there was a placement, I think I ended up getting like third place as far as quickest to run through it. And all of us were still like a full 30 seconds slower than any of the special ops guys that ran through that course. So if that tells you anything, but, I just thought it was a really fun course to the point that I'm trying to think of ways to kind of repurpose, like to design one of the gunfighter courses in my backyard and run it repeatedly with a 22 long rifle. Like I'll put a 22 long rifle conversion in my standard AR and I'll run my little, I've got a Smith & Wesson M&P 22 pistol and I'll use that and I'll just kind of recreate this gunfighter course in my backyard. Not only if I ran it like, you know, a bunch of times over and over be an excellent workout. It also would be very applicable to, you know, just making sure that my quote unquote gunfighter skills are kind of staying sharp. And I like the idea of that, obviously. So yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool. So just a shout out to Altus, you know, say thanks for having that class there. And to Josh, thanks, man, for running that. It really was a great class, an excellent class. 100%, if I have an opportunity, I'm going back to take more classes, because Josh was very, very knowledgeable. But most importantly to me is not just the knowledge that a person has, because they can have all this skill, all this experience, all this knowledge, but if they're a crappy communicator, I'm not gonna be able to learn anything from you, right? So you've gotta be a good communicator too. Otherwise, you just lose me. And a lot of people. And Josh is an excellent communicator. And so yeah, he's patient and he's chill, super nice dude, and wants to see people learn and to learn doing things the right way. And yeah, so it was excellent. So if you have a chance, look up Altus and the classes that Josh is offering. Well worth your time and money. Believe me, I will be going back. So yeah. So then after that, it's transitioning into the next part of my trip. I actually drove up towards, I spent a couple more days in Florida, and then I drove up towards Atlanta. My wife flew into Atlanta, and I picked her up at the airport, and we spent a couple days around Chattanooga, Tennessee, and then we went up into the Smoky Mountains further and just kind of did some of the touristy stuff. But we ended up actually staying kind of on the southeast side of the mountains, Cherokee, South Carolina, or North Carolina, Cherokee, North Carolina, and then over kind of, I mean, it was a little ways from Boone, North Carolina, but the thing that I was going to tell you about was that I went over, and if you've seen some of my social media posts, you saw me post some stuff about Winkler tomahawks and Winkler knives. Well, Winkler is very well known in the knife industry, been a knife maker in that space for a lot of years, makes, you know, uber high quality stuff, very well known in the special operations community. He gives back to the soft community, a lot, and, you know, provides excellent blades and tomahawks for things, those people, and for civilians, general public too. But, they're based out of Boone, North Carolina. And so my wife and I were at this little, shop, and this retail shop, carried Winkler tomahawks, and I'd never seen any in person before at any kind of a retail store, and I saw it there, and I bought it immediately, this small little like mini tomahawk, because it was Winkler and I wanted it, and I've been wanting one forever. I've just never seen them in person. Yeah, I could have ordered online, but when it comes to expensive things, I want to hold it, I want to touch it, I want to see if I like it before I actually drop the money, you know. And so anyway, saw one, bought it, and I was talking to the guy behind the counter, and he's like, yeah, you know, Winkler's like just an hour or so north of here. And I was like, really? Wait, really? And so the very next day, I went up to Winkler Knives Actual, and they've got an amazing, you know, retail space there, whole wall full of their blades and their tomahawks, and just a lot of history stuff there, a lot of special operations stuff, you know. The author, Jack Carr, of course, some of his books have featured Winkler tomahawks and knives. And so there's, you know, there's some tribute stuff there to him. And it's just a lot of cool history, cool stuff. Anyway, so then I went to Winkler Knives Actual, and I bought another tomahawk and a knife. So I came home with a full-size tomahawk, a compact, smaller tomahawk, and a hunting knife from Winkler. And I spent all of my play money and then some, because those things are not cheap. But I'm happy I did it. It was kind of a once in a lifetime kind of thing. I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever get back out to that part of the country again, to where I would actually have time to stop there and shop and have money in my pocket to do it. So I was like, ah, screw it, I'm just going to do it. So I'm happy I did it. They're really cool. I'm going to, the mini tomahawk is getting displayed in my man cave. The knife currently is getting displayed in my man cave, though I may use that for hunting. The full-size tomahawk is absolutely just going to get used. I'm just going to use it. I'm going to carry it out in the woods. I'm going to throw it with my son at the tomahawk block or the board or whatever we've got out there. Just going to have fun with it. So, yeah, that's all been going on. Then, as far as Precision Rifle Network is concerned, I get home and I just have to keep going on videos. And gosh dang, I'll tell you guys, if videos aren't just tanking lately, man. Like, I've seen it on some other precision rifle related channels too. I'm not sure if it's just like the time of year, or it's just less people are interested in it right now, or like, I don't know, but I've seen video views just really tanking on the precision rifle content. And it's just really weird. You know, it's not normal. It hasn't been normal, I think, for my videos to only get like 1,000 views on them, you know, in the first week or so. And lately it seems like most of them are getting very, very few views on them. In fact, I've been posting these shorts, little 15 to 30 second shorts videos with there's like no talking, there's no narration mostly. It's literally just B-roll that I've gotten at various different competitions, and they're in vertical format. And we've been posting three of those a week, and almost every single one of those is getting 1.5 to 3,000 views in the first week on each of those shorts alone. But the full length videos are only getting 1,000 views. Like, I don't know. I just don't get that. Maybe it's an indication of people's attention spans and just like the shorts type of content. People just want this fast entertainment anymore. Like, most people just want fast entertainment, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that's true. You guys can let me know, but the longer form content just doesn't seem to be doing as well. It's really just kind of strange. One of my best performing videos lately was just me and my son out shooting on the range and me kind of coaching him while we're out on the range. There wasn't a whole lot of, you know, like entertainment value, I didn't think. There wasn't a whole lot of like teaching somebody how to do something, I didn't think, but that video performed pretty well. So, man, y'all are a finicky bunch. I don't understand what makes you happy with my content. So use my socials, please, and let me know. Say like, hey, man, if you did this or whatever, like, I understand I can't be funny and I can't not be very kind of dry with the way that I talk. I am who I am. I'm trying to do the best I can, trying to provide content that you guys like. But if there's something you think that I can provide that would get more views and just, you know, grow the channel faster and all those kinds of things, I am all ears at this point. The sucker's getting frustrating. But I'm going to keep doing it. It's what I do for work. And, you know, it's not a good living, but it's a living. And, you know, I'm enjoying that I get to do it for a living. And so just shout me out and let me know if, you know, if you've got any ideas that I can do to make Precision Rifle Network more interesting, or people you might know that do make videos and might want to have their videos posted on my platform. I'm 100% open to that stuff. Like, I've offered this to so many people now, and very few people take me up on it, to where I said, look, I'm not making any money on YouTube, not from YouTube. I make money from sponsors and things like that, advertising deals and whatnot. But as far as YouTube is concerned, I don't make any money from them, like very little, a couple $100 a month. That's it. So if you have a good video that you want posted to a bigger audience and it's precision rifle related, or any firearms really, hit me up. I might be willing to put it on Precision Rifle Network, as long as there's kind of, you know, no strings attached. I'm not expecting anything special from you other than a decent video, and you're not expecting to get paid a bunch of money because it's just not there to give, then it might work out. You know, put your stuff on my channel. It could be a win-win for both of us. So hit me up if that's something that you want to do. Other than that, my son Nate and I are going to be out at Cameo in Colorado this next weekend. I have volunteered us to RO that event. So we're going to be out there. And then I've got maybe one local a PRS type 1 day match that I'll be doing in September. And then I've got the Competition Dynamics Team Safari that I'll be doing out in New Mexico in October. And then I'm doing Sniper's Unknown Challenge out on the East Coast in November. I'm not competing. I'm going out to provide photo and video coverage of that. And then that'll be my year. That'll round me out. I won't do anything probably in December other than just making more videos. So that's what I've been doing, guys. That catches you all up to where I'm at right now. This next week's video, while we're in Colorado, will be something that I already had scheduled, and that is going to be kind of my top 5 online resources for precision rifle-related stuff. So, things you can do online to up your precision rifle knowledge and or shooting skill or ability. That'll be the next coming up video. So appreciate you guys. Hit that like, follow button, you know, subscribe button, whatever. Always leave a thumbs up and a comment on the videos when they drop if you can. That really helps the algorithm kind of pick up and recommend it to more people, because YouTube goes, oh, people are liking this. Oh, and they're commenting, they're interacting with it. Sweet. Okay, we'll pump it out to more people. Like, that's the biggest thing you can do for me, please, is to hit that thumbs up button, leave a quick comment, and that really helps. So thank you, guys. Appreciate you listening. We'll be back again soon with another episode. Later.